Hey, so welcome everyone to the seminar series. You should check online and the emails that Alex sends for the upcoming seminar. I'm very happy to host Paulo, who is visiting us from Brazil. He's a familiar face for many here because he was here for 6 months before. And yeah, I'm co-advising him with Daniel Takahashi in Universidad Federal do Rio Norte in Natal. And he's part of my collaboration with Daniel's lab on studying foraging marmosets in captivity and in the field. And he's a PhD student. And Angela making, and he's also working with Angela and Jacob Davidson on a lot of the analysis. And yeah, he will present some analysis results from some preliminary data that were collected in Natal, and any feedback will be appreciated. He is staying till the 19th of November around. So if you want to talk with him, you have any feedback, please reach out to him. Thank you, Paulo.
So hello, everyone. My name is Paulo. I'm here today to talk about this project that we've been working for 8 months, I think, so far. The name of the project is Social Foraging Dynamics in Common Marmosets. But first, just make sure that everyone here is on the same page. I'm going to start talking a little bit about foraging. This is not my main topic. I'm a computer science guy, so if I say something wrong, correct me later. But let's go. So foraging is the act of search and acquire for food research. This behavior is present in every animal species, and it plays an important role in animal ability to survive and reproduce. When we face a foraging behavior, there is a bunch of aspects that we can study and learn about, but today I highlight only three of them. The first one is social interaction, and when I say social interaction, I'm interested in questions such as how are the animals going to respond to the food? Who is going to eat first? It's going to be the animal who find the food. It's going to be the oldest one, the youngest one, the leader of the group. Another question is who is going to be watching the surround in order to avoid predators? All right. Another aspect that we can study is decision making. And when I say decision making, I'm talking about what kind of food animals will choose, obviously, if they have the opportunity to choose, because we know that in the wild, the animals have to eat whatever is nearby. Another question is, what implication does this food bring with it? The animals have to go to another territory to get the food or something like that, and maybe the animals just wants to try something new, all right? The third and final aspect that I highlight in this behavior is payoff. And when I say payoff, I'm talking about how much energy do the animal spend to get the food. If we think about a coconut, the animal has to break the coconut. So he has to spend energy in order to get some energy. All right. Is this food too far away from the animal? And is this food at least nutritious for the animal? It's just going to be a snack. All right. So these three aspects, they can and they are studying in a classic experiment named patch foraging, all right? So in this experiment, let's say we have two animals, two monkeys, and we have two patch food, one with carrot and one with banana. So we can evaluate the animal behavior just computing how much time the animals spend in one patch food, the other, or traveling between these two patch foods, all right? To study this patch foraging experiment, there is one animal model, one animal approach that we can use. There is marmoset. These little guys over here. So they are original from Brazil. They have a diurnal behavior. They hide between 14 and 16 centimeters. So they are like this. Their weight is about 300 and 317 grams. Their life expectancy is about 12 years. And they are social animals. The group can reach 6 to 10 individuals, but sometimes they can reach around 25 to 30 individuals or sometimes less with 4 or 5 individuals. Okay, and today we have two common approach. Nowadays we have two common approach to study animal behavior. The first one, some person goes to the middle of the jungle, start to follow the animals there and annotate everything that the animals do. Like the first 2 hours, the animal wake up, walk a little bit, eat some bananas, then come back for the original place and something like that. And the other common approach is you set some cameras, record the animal's behavior, and then you go back home, watch the whole video and make the annotation. Okay, the first 2 hours, the animal doing nothing and stuff like that. So, like I said, this is the two common approach that we have today. But today, with the advance of technology, we can use this in our favor, all right? So we can set some cameras, record some animal behavior like monkey, bird, rat, octopus, whatever, we don't judge. So we can record these videos, use some tool already developed or develop a pipeline, able to extract some features of this animal behavior. And then we are able to answer some biological questions, okay? So with all this in mind, the main goal of this project is answer the question, how do marmosets behave in a foraging scenario? Okay, so methods, for the methods I decided to split up. So first I'm gonna talk about the foraging experiment and then I'm gonna talk the computational approach, all right? So the foraging experiment, we have 3 mixed food. The first one is a mix between banana and carrot. The second one is just carrot and the third one is just banana, okay? These 3 mixed foods that has almost the same consistency. And we present 2 of them at each day for the animals, 2 marmosets, okay? And we weigh the food before and after the experiment, so we already have the information about the amount of food consumed, okay? So let's say that day number 1, we have a mix between banana and carrot in the patch on the left and just carrot, the patch on the right. And then day number 2, we have banana and banana, carrot and carrot, and carrot and banana, and so on. So with that, we have 12 experimental days, okay? So the computational approach, I split up once more in annotation, processing, and post-processing, okay? I'm gonna explain each stage of that. Begin with annotation. So for the annotation, the first step that we do was get some frames, okay, some print screen of the video, and we obtain a total of 1,000 frames, okay? We use Python to do this, and after that, we just upload this frame in RoboFlow. RoboFlow is a free website where you can upload your image, and then you can make some annotations, and then after that, you can train a network that are able to recognize whatever you're training for. So for our case, we want to know how much time the animal are eating. So for us, just the head location was the important part. So after I upload the frames here, I start to make some bounding box around the marmoset's head. And my only concern here is to make sure that the 2 ears and the white face patch are inside this bounding box, okay? So after that, I start to create some annotation about the patch food because we also want to know where is the patch food in each video because sometimes the animals just move the patch food and so we have to know where the patch food it is in every frame. So for that one, I use this magic thing here where you click the object and RoboFlow already set the whole box of the object. So this is magic, basically. Then after that, we train 2 models separately. One just to recognize the marmoset's head and one just to recognize the feeders, the patch food. Okay, so just to summarize, get some frames, upload them in RoboFlow, make some annotations, then train your network that are able to recognize your objects. Okay, so next part was the processing part. For that, we use D-Rex. D-Rex is a tool developed here by Tristan and Ian. With D-Rex, you can upload your video, upload your training model, and then make them work together. And then D-Rex is very good because you can go back, go forward. Sometimes you can correct D-Rex, but in general, I would say that work very good and I thoroughly recommend. And then we always analyze the same video twice, once, just to see where is the marmoset, and another just to see where is the patch food. With that, we can improve a lot our tracking pipeline. Okay, so after that, we T-Rex export all the information that you need, like the position of the marmosets and the patch food, and you can use that. Okay, so last part of the methods was the computational approach. So, like I said, T-Rex export the X and Y position of each animal and the patch food. And after that, for every frame, we calculate the distance between the monkey head and the patch food. And once they are close enough, we can say that they are in the patch food, maybe eating. Okay, so just to summarize once again, we have the data export from the T-Rex, and we use some Python and Matplotlib to plot some figures that we're gonna see on the results and to answer some biological questions. Okay, results so far, because as Ahmed already said, we don't have the complete data yet. We have 8 of the 12 experimental days. But yeah, so far so good. So, results. The first result that I showed to you guys is the tracking is working. So if we see over here on the right side, we can see T-Rex is only tracking the patch food. And here T-Rex is only tracking the marmoset's head. And it is working very good. Okay, and with that, we are able to see the whole trajectory of the monkeys here in the panel A. We have we have blue, the monkey one, a female, and in green, we have monkey two, a male. Okay, we can see the whole trajectory of the animals here. In patch B, we have the trajectory of each patch food. So orange, we have carrot, and yellow, we have banana and carrot. Okay, and if we see here, there's not so precise because sometimes the animal move a little bit the patch food, and sometimes the animals are over the patch food and the tracking cannot see the patch food, so he lost a little bit. And sometimes the animals wants to say hello to the camera, so he's go to the camera and say something like that. And here in panel C, we have only the trajectory of the animals when they are close enough to the patch food for us to consider that they are eating. Okay, so only with that information, like the information about where is the marmosets and how much time they are there, we are able to answer some biological questions such as, is there a difference in the time animals spend on each patch food? So remember that every day we present two kind of food for the animal. So when we present only banana for the animal, we can see that monkey number one spend around 100 seconds in that patch on the left. In patch with banana. And monkey number two spend a little more, okay? So this is the average data from only two experimental days, okay? And when we present carrot, we can see that the animals spend in average a little more there, like monkey one and monkey two spend less time there. And the days where we present only carrot is 3 days, so this is the average. And when we present banana and carrot against carrot, we can see that the animals, monkey one, spend in average more time in the patch with banana and carrot, and monkey two spend almost the same time there. So I think that in conclusion, they don't spend more time in any batch food, regardless the food that are presented. Okay, so another question is, can marmosets tell the difference between the mixture? So we see that when we present only banana, they eat around 9 grams of food. When we present only carrot, they eat less. But when we present banana and carrot, we can see that there is no substantial difference here, but we think that they cannot tell the difference between this mixture here. All right, so how is the time span eating distributed? So here we have in the x-axis, we have the time that we analyze, 1,800 seconds. This is the first 15 minutes of the video. All right. And here we have the time that this animal, monkey number one, is spent in each batch food. So banana on the left and banana on the right. Everything above the zero is how much time this animal is spent in this batch food. Everything below is how much time they spend here. So we can see that they don't spend so much time in each batch food, but they have like this exploratory behavior. They go to the left, see what's there, go to the right, see what's that, and then come back, and then so on. When we present only carrot, we can see almost the same behavior. They go to the right, see what's there, go to the left, spend more time there, but they come back, and so on. And when we present carrot against banana and carrot, we can see that this marmoset explore both of the patch food, but then they spend a lot of time in the patch with banana and carrot. Okay? And about the marmoset too. We can see they also explore a little bit each patch food. Okay? When we present banana and when we present carrot, he don't explore so much. And when we present carrot against banana and carrot, this marmoset also don't explore so much like here. And if we pay attention for this residence time, we can see that there is some time where only one marmoset are in each batch food. So here we can see that only the monkey two are there. Not only, but most the monkey two. Here, most the monkey one are in the dispatch food. The same here, and here, and here. And with that, we can see how much time do the animals spend eating simultaneously. In other words, at the same time, all right? So we see that when we present only banana, we can see that the marmosets spend in average 10 seconds eating together at the patch on the left, in the patch on the right, in average 3 seconds. And when monkey number one are on the left and monkey number two are on the right, we can see only 3 seconds in average. And here, in the opposite way, only about 3 seconds as well. Okay? When we present only carrot, we can see that they spend less time eating together at the same patch and more time eating separately. And when we present banana and carrot against carrot, we can see that they spend more time eating together, carrot, and more time eating separately. In fact, if we pay attention to all this information, so these numbers here, it's just these previous numbers here. So we can see that when we present banana for the marmoset, they like to eat more together if we compare these two numbers and these two numbers. And when we present just carrot, we can see that the marmosets like to eat more separately. So what's next with this project? Well, we want to explore coordinate movement because we think that sometimes the marmosets has this coordinate movement where marmoset ones go to the food and then left. And after, I don't know, 10 or 15 seconds, marmoset two go to the same food and then left. And we realized maybe this is a behavior that we want to explore. And we also want to explore a new mixed food, okay? And after that, we want to extract group behavior features such as food preference, patch residence time, travel time distribution, movement pair between patches, and modeling fitting. I think that's it. Thank you very much. I want to thank the Collective Behavior, Max Planck here to host me, CAPS, Biomi, Instituto do Cérebro, Dr. Ahmed, Angela and Jacob, Ricardo Carvalho, who collect the data, and Daniel Takahashi. Yeah, this is it. I was a little rushed.
Okay, this was very brief and nice. So if anyone has suggestions, more experiments we need to do, just tell us more.
If you guys have questions, Ahmed is here to answer.
Yeah, sure. No. I can answer.
Thank you. That was a nice presentation and very interesting. And thank you for the detailed methods that always helps others that may want to do something similar. I had a question about the distance you were selecting for the patches. Like, how did you decide which distance to use and whether you think the behavior of the animals will change if you increase the distance and thereby, you know, also increasing the cost of traveling when they're making decisions?
So for choose the distance was like a little bit arbitrary because I have to watch the video and see how where is the marmoset head on the patch food and see if it was like testing everything, like, oh, okay, I'm gonna put this range and see if that is a fit. No, I'm gonna put this range and see if fit and stuff like that.
Yeah, it will affect definitely the cost because there is also, we have data from the field and definitely you get, you know, it's with distance, you get different cost for the travel. But here just for, you know, the aim of the experiment first was to optimize these conditions, but then we can, yeah, changing the distance is the most obvious thing we can do, so.
Do you also plan to add post-estimation to your tracking data? Because then you could, for example, estimate each animal's field of view, and if one animal is, for example, observing the other, make a decision and then join it.
No, not yet. We don't work with post-estimation, just tracking the animals.
Okay. Maybe I've lost it. I was wondering whether you analyzed whether the choice of the first animal that arrives to the food patch affects the second one as well. I guess the marmoset don't come together. So I was wondering if one is already on the left patch, is the second one more likely to go there?
So this is kind of the analysis that we want to make after that. This is going to be the coordinate movement. So we're going to see when the marmoset's there and what the other is doing or something like that.
So thank you for your talk. You noticed, so you said you had evaluated and presented to us 8 days out of 12. And my question is, I suppose you have recorded 12 days, but you have only analyzed 8 days so far. So my question is, how much time does it take to do your analysis? Because you presented something that looked very automatic, but I suppose if you have 8 days out of 12, probably there is a lot of additional work there. Could you just elaborate a little bit about what is all the additional work that you have to do there?
So we don't have the 12 days collected yet because Ricardo is still collecting the data, but everything's already worked. So since once I have the 12 days, Giovanni, I'm just going to press enter and all the analysis is going to show.
So there are 4 days of the experiments.
I have 8 days and I don't have the other 4 days yet. We don't collect yet. Every day we collect one experimental day.
But it's not 12 days in a row.
No, it's not.
12 individual days.
Yeah. Sorry.
So every day is a single day?
Yeah.
It's not 12 days.
Yeah. Yeah, sorry.
For the automatic, so yeah, the analysis is, this is the reason why Paolo came the first time, is just the analysis is not really automatic because tracking is pretty tough to keep the individual identities over these 2 hours. But now it's working, but it took a lot of, thanks to Angela and Jacob's help and Tristan. So the T-Rex we are using is a new T-Rex. I think it will be published soon. Right. When is it getting published, Andrew? So I think that's it. You know, I think Paolo presented it briefly, but there is a lot of work that went into preserving the individual identity, and now we have to color one of the marmosets tufts just to make sure we have like a double check that, because this analysis is. We have to guarantee that there is no switching of identities. And some of the videos, the marmoset will go out of frame and then they come back and then the identity might be switched. So that's where, you know, I think Paolo likes to downplay how much work he done, but a lot of work have gone into the tracking part.
Yeah.
And then we can get sort of the post, like, you know, all the data is there, just the premier focus for us was preserving individual identities, because if we scale up to 3 or 4 marmosets, then things get more complicated, but it's the same infrastructure that we are using. Yes?
Thank you. Just a bit of a follow-up on stuff that's been asked. So because you're not doing pose estimation and you're just basically looking at the bounding box of the head and when it's overlapping or not, the feeding area, how do you know if the marmosets are actually eating versus just sitting there with their head over top?
So we cannot know for sure how many times or where they are eating, but we know for sure that they are here with the head here. That's the only thing.
Yes. So thank you for the presentation. I guess my question is, so when you do present the 2 food options, what are the consistencies of the food? Like, is it like, because I see like a blob, like, is, do you mash it up and
yeah.
then serve it?
Or? Yeah.
Okay. So
yeah,
it's
we mash
like
it, because if we just like cut the banana and place that, the marmosets go take the banana and okay, chop.
Okay.
And then okay. That's why. And they also, sometimes they share food. They can like take the banana and say, hey.
Okay.
So that's why we put the food like that.
Okay. Thank you.
Thanks so much. Beautiful talk. There's a question from the chat. Elliot asks, do your current results suggest how marmosets make foraging decisions in the wild?
I don't think so, because, I mean, you can answer that. You. Because this experiment was made in the captivity, so.
No, it's, you know, I think.
You can assume something, but not.
A question, you know, I think computer scientists are usually, they, you know, people who have been in biology for a long time know how to speculate, you know. I think one thing we are also recording, but it's not including this analysis, we record the vocalizations. So, because there is, you know, Ricardo, the one who is doing the experiments, is doing recording in the wild, and he identified this food call. So there is one call that they produce, is very close to the fee call, where they sell to their friends, come and eat with us. So the marmosets is a bit of an oddity in primates, because it's a matriarchal society, non-hierarchical, and you rarely see marmoset fights. That's why it's nice to interact with them, they jump on you, so they're very nice. Not like other macaque and stuff, or, you know, male-dominated societies, like we all know what happens. So, so I think in the wild, we'll get more insights on the translatability of the analysis when we include the vocalizations, because it can tell us, okay, how much also interactions that they're having, because that's the way they interact mostly. They call on each other, so.
Thank you. Yeah, I was wondering if you have a single marmoset, would they eat less because they don't like to eat alone, or would they eat more?
We have planned to, after that, we're going to record only one of them in the same environment, same experimental, but not yet.
Yeah, the permit for a single marmoset is much more difficult than 2, because they are social animals, you don't want to keep them alone. So they always in groups, but... The other thing about the food, why did we choose this particular food? So marmosets are very picky, and if they don't like the food, they will throw it at you. So they are, I have had this experience. So that's why we chose the carrot and banana. And then we will begin to vary like the concentrations and stuff like this. But this preliminary experiment just told us that they are interacting with the patches, they're eating and stuff like that. So.
Thanks for the talk. Just out of curiosity, I was wondering, keep talking about monkey one and monkey two. Are they the same two monkeys throughout your data set, or do you have several couples that you put?
No, there's the same couple from all these experimental days.
Cool. And you're planning to do more individuals, or like if you put two males or two females, or would that change also their interactions?
Yeah. We want to explore everything. Yeah.
No, we have to. Yeah, we have two other couples. So these are male and female marmosets, and we can, you know, it's always tricky to have two males, but we can have two females. And they are adjusted to the age, so both are adult. So, and it's a breeding colony, so we can also manipulate the age, but that's a whole other parameter that we can. I think it depends on the patch size. So I think if you keep it small, then it will decrease because then there will be crowding. But I think if we scale it up to the size of the colony, I think they will spend even more time because they like really sharing and interacting. So they will spend more time. So there is imaging from a cage that have five marmosets. So just to give you an impression, these cages are not really cages. You can enter inside like it's, one of them is almost half of this room, so you can just interact with them. So we can have up to five or six marmosets, and I would think it depends on the patch size. So,
do you have a sense for why, like with the carrots and bananas, one, I don't remember which one, you found that they eat more together, the other they prefer to eat separately? Why, like what is the, I guess, is there some reason you think one would? It was just like from your perspective, it was just two food sources and
Two food sources that they like because we tried others, or Ricardo tried others that they really didn't like, some peanut butter, you know, they're very picky. And then it's good to do the experiments like subsequently in days because they can change mood afterwards. Okay, we are bored of this food, give us another food. You know, they're like us, it's not cool. So many. So Paolo is staying here till the 19th and he will be in my office. So you can just reach out to him if you have any more comments. Great, thank you very much.